You're listening to Am I the Bowlcast, the only podcast about Magic the Gathering that's ever existed ever in the history of magic. I'm your host, Mike Carrozza. I'm a stand-up comedian from Montreal, and I'm the writer of the column Am I the Bowlist over at CommandersHerald.com, the column this podcast is based on. The column people write in, but the podcast people call in to talk about their pet peeves in magic and ask if maybe they might be the villain of a story, and to which I say, yeah, maybe, possibly, yes, totally. Joining me, as always, are my two co-hosts that share an office in the two different countries just across the way, and we're in the same building, just in the other room. Let me go knock on his door. Co-host, you might know as the author of the How They Brew It column over at CommandersHerald.com. I know him as Michael Solani. Hi, Michael.
So I built that bird deck, Mike. I built that bird deck. It's very good.
Got that
it's
bird very, in him.
Don't Boo. Phrase it that way. That makes yeah, me uncomfortable.
Yeah, Nadu. Nadu's in ya.
Yeah, now I'm drawing so many
that
cards and putting
worse.
So many lands right onto the battlefield, but only twice each turn. So it is very
per creature
balanced.
Per creature
it's balanced
basically,
you know?
It's bad.
I paid $750 for my copy of Shuko and everything's just going well, you know.
Well, maybe you could have used last
sphere.
Week's sponsor to find a better a better price copy. Before we get into talking more about Cardsphere, our producer is just waiting for me to mention her, our genius producer known for her skills in math and magic. Give it up for Morgan Sanchez. Hi, Morgan.
Hey, Mark. Greetings from classical Greece.
Classical Greece?
Classical
Wait,
Greece.
What?
I have gone back in time.
I know
see...
what you mean.
I see what you're doing. You're getting up to something. Before we talk about you being back in time, we do have to mention we have a sponsor again this week. Cardsphere is sponsoring us once again, an online marketplace for trading and selling Magic the Gathering cards, and you don't even need any money. You got your cards, you can start trading right away.
Nice.
You know, you got a card you want to post up, somebody's going to snatch it right up, and you can do the same, whatever they want. You need a Leyline of the Guild pack? You got yourself a deck that you need all the colors for?
Someone cooked here.
Go nuts. Find it on Cardsphere. You'll get a good deal, and maybe you'll be able to trade some of your stuff away, debulk and declutter your space. Get the stuff you really need. Get Cardsphere.
Fights cavities.
There we go. Cardsphere, get your cards here. Make sure to click the link in our description. That lets us know, that lets them know that we sent you. So Cardsphere.com. Check it out. Link in the description. Make sure you sign up for us. It's good for us. Thank you so much to Cardsphere for sponsoring us yet again. Now, Morgan, you mentioned that you were going back in time.
Yes.
You were going back in time to ancient Greece, was it?
Classical Greece, which
classical Greece.
I know
Greece.
You mean like the state, but I just can't help but imagine the musical Greece being played entirely in violins and cellos.
Boo.
I want.
Boo. No, I'm Boo. I'm very literate. The only reason, because of our sponsor, thankfully, I was able to get into the Animus and become Alexios to get into the pure. Of classical Greece from 510 BC to 323 BC. It's a period of 200 years.
That period of
and
time
why am
isn't
I here?
In the Bible.
Why am I here in classical Greece?
Because
no matter when you are listening or hearing this podcast, I will more than likely be here because Ubisoft does not know how to make a game that is less than 3,000 hours long. And I started playing this in December. And I think I am not halfway
Assassin's
through
Creed?
Yet. Yes, I am,
Odyssey,
I am
right?
playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey. And it is because in Magic, I'm an Odyssey girly, but also because I really like classical Greece. Each of the Assassin's Creed games has like a period of time that you kind of play in. And
now,
that's what makes them fun. You get
Assassin's
to hang
Creed
around.
Odyssey, that's the one with the flying hat that turns you into the things you throw it at, right?
That's the one, I think. That's the one I remember. That's,
yes.
That's.
Morgan, I'm not sure if you get the joke, and I need you to get the joke.
I need to be told the joke, unfortunately. So some behind the scenes moment right now.
Super
Mario.
Yeah, that's the one. I mean, here's the thing. We're coming upon the release of Assassin's Creed Universe Beyond product coming, God, in a couple days as of the release of this. On Friday of this very week.
Mm-hmm. July 5th.
Although the set is spoiled already at this point. However, at current day where we are in the past, we still only have just a few fun little bits and pieces that we can get excited for. Now, Morgan, as someone who plays Assassin's Creed, what do you look for? What are you looking forward to? What's something that you're like, if they have this on a card, I might lose it? Tell me why you're excited about Assassin's Creed.
Well, it's funny because like I played the original Assassin's Creed and I played the second one, but I did like a little bit of Black Flag, which I think was the third one. And no, when I four. Got there you go. So when I got Odyssey, like in December of this past year, I was like, how many Assassin's Creed games are there now? There's got to be like maybe five of them. There are 12 Assassin's Creed games as of.
Assassin's Creed, like Assassin's Creed Chain of Memories.
Yes.
I live in the city where they are made and know people who work on the games.
Ubisoft Montreal is to thank for this franchise. And it's been a hit or miss franchise. The thing that I really like about it and that I'm excited to see with the Universes Beyond is kind of just what we've seen already. Like, no matter when you watch this, like, it's going to be something that I'm jonesing for regardless, is that we have these historical figures as serialized, I don't want to say promos, but like, you know, serialized cards.
Serialized, they're cards that you can crack.
Rares that are in the language of the age of the character. So Leonardo da Vinci's is in Italian, Cleopatra the Eighth's is in Greek, that sort of thing, which is really neat and kind of like a throwback to those old promos that were in different languages, the Hebrew glory and that kind of thing.
Right.
Which is just really neat. It's a really neat representation thing. The cards look really cool. Yeah. And they're collectible. So I think just all of the time periods and historicity that Assassin's Creed goes through from Renaissance Italy to
historicity.
That's a real word, by the way. And classical Greece. Like, I think it's just really cool to have that kind of scope altogether. And so I'm actually kind of bummed that the set is so small, because I think that it would do well having like a bigger, more realized set. But the interesting thing about this Assassin's Creed Universes Beyond thing is that if you're not aware of it yet, it is for newer players. So this is not like one of those Universes Beyond sets. Yeah, there are no pre-cons for this set, which is a real bummer because I feel like that's something they could have done a pre-con for like each one of the mainline games.
They could have done a pre-con for each of the Ninja Turtles.
God, Michael.
Exactly.
It is weird to me that in the set where it's meant apparently for beginners or like people new to the game, rather, that we have sort of feast and famine, like an all-timer equipment and temporal trespass, an extra turn spell with delve, no less.
Well, what do new players like? You want to do cool stuff, right? Sure. I want to have the extra turn.
Well then what could be cooler than
pissing off everybody on the other side of the table?
You're right.
That's Commander, baby.
That's Commander, baby.
I've never played Assassin's Creed. Does that come through to you guys?
Yeah, totally it does. But you had it ready in your pocket to tell us that it was the fourth one when Morgan mentioned Black Flag.
So. I remember because the it was like the only one that was on the Wii U.
Ugh.
Oh, that makes it even worse. Never mind. Stop listening to what I'm talking about.
It does make it way worse.
We are. Cut away, Salani.
When they announced Assassin's Creed, and you know, I got back home. I have the PlayStation subscription where you can like stream old games or whatever. And I was like, let me try this. Maybe it's like better than I remember. Cause I picked up Assassin's Creed 2 and I was like, it's not for me. I liked the first one, but the second one didn't do it. And then I remembered exactly what did it for me. What made me put things down was Assassin's Creed 2 in Renaissance era Italy, when they're making all the Italian characters speak English. And they all sound like what people sound like when they're imitating what they think Italians sound like. I'm just not about it. It's just so frustrating and so difficult to take seriously when you're playing a game and somebody comes over and it's like, Ezio, why don't you come over for dinner tomorrow?
Okay, full disclosure, both of you are Italian, so I mean, if that's just the way you do it, that's the way you do it.
It is.
That's not how we do it. I don't do it. I don't do that at all. Equally frustrating was playing Mafia for the first time And they all sounded like, well, I told them, you see, I went over there and I said, oh, what are you doing over there? You know what
the
I mean?
The other Italian.
And
I'm it's like, Sopranos, that's the game.
The two. But, the two flavors of Italian.
So we don't have the Sopranos universes beyond just yet, but I'm sure we will pretty soon. But regarding Assassin's Creed, we're kind of in an interesting space where people are probably building with some of these cards right now as they're being spoiled. Mm-hmm. And I'm interested to know what you guys think about some of these mechanics that are already spoiled as of this time in the present. So
there's a lot of Legends Matter stuff, which is
a lot of assassins things.
Mm-hmm. A lot of assassins. So there's this mechanic called free running.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't know if you guys have heard of, but it's like a pseudo
spell. Yeah, you may cast or like a pseudo prowl. Cast a spell for its free running cost if you dealt combat damage to a player this turn with an assassin or commander, so that they can keep it like, hey, it's not just assassins. It's also if your commander gets in the red zone, you can cast some stuff for less. I'm assuming less. So it's interesting because the only thing that's got free running out right now is Ezio Auditore da Firenze, which is the main guy, and he gives
Assassin's Creed 2.
Yes, exactly. That's the one I'm talking about. This friggin' guy, a 3/2 with menace for 2 mana, 1 in a black, human assassin. Assassin spells you cast have free running black. So no matter what you've got. If it's an assassin, you cast it for black if he deals combat damage to anybody. And then whenever Ezio deals combat damage to a player, you may play Wooburg. Uh-oh, he's a 5-color commander. If that player has 10 or less life, when you do, that player loses the game. So you can just like kill somebody if you get them to 10 life. Yeah.
Very flavorful.
But also not the stuff I'm excited for. Like, I look at the assassin stuff and I'm like, all right, Typal Matters stuff, whatever. I think about it and I'm like, the only one that makes me excited right now is Altair Ibn La'ahad, which wants you to exile assassin creatures from your graveyard so that you can, like, bring them back. It's so cool. It's just for white, black, and red, 3/3 with first strike. Whenever he attacks, exile up to 1 target assassin creature card from your graveyard with a memory counter. Then for each creature card you own in exile with a memory counter on it, create a tapped and attacking token that's a copy of it. Exile those tokens at the end of combat. You can double this up with Isshin, who doubles your attack triggers. Not to mention, the Animus is also a card in the set that like lets you exile a legendary creature from your graveyard with a memory counter. And because Altair doesn't care if it's an assassin exiled with a memory counter, it just needs to have a memory counter, it's going to be able to bring it back. I think that's the most interesting part of that I like so far. But personally, I also think it's fun to think of Ivor Battle Ready, who says whenever Ivor attacks, it deals damage equal to the number of equipment you control to each opponent. I like the idea of Ivor just like, I'm attacking, but I'm leaving all my weapons behind. And they're still going to hurt you. I think that's kind of funny. I think that's like the silliest card so far.
Well, no, because we have to look at Haystack, which is probably the most flavorful card in the set and just a brilliant usage of phasing. So Haystack is 1 white. It's an artifact. You pay 2 and tap it. Target creature you control phases out.
It's so fun. I like this one a lot because the Haystacks are what you hide in.
Yes,
in the game, and you
or
can't
what you
be
jump
seen
into when you take exactly the leap of faith.
Exactly, and I like that one a lot. I think it's fun, but I don't think that's so silly. I think Ivor is a much sillier image. But what's also crazy to me is that Leonardo da Vinci can kill a bear. Leonardo da Vinci, a painter, a Renaissance man who makes artifacts and. Man, just a doctor. He makes doctors and paints the Mona Lisa.
Where do you think he gets all the vibrant reds he uses in his paintings? Think about it.
The blood of bears. He's a 3-mana 3/3. Like, it's just so funny to me that Leonardo da Vinci, when equipped with the Sword of Feast and Famine, can take down the Viking battle ready Ivor in an equal contest. You know,
this is basically what happened in history. It's just the truth is stranger than fiction.
Yeah, like, Leonardo da Vinci, vampire slayer.
I'm just wondering
he stopped
what other,
the Viking invasion. Like,
chronologically totally sound.
Yeah.
I just think that I can't wait to find out what other historical figures that they found and put in. And I wonder how, like, close to our time, like, who the closest to our time will be. You know?
Please give me a Margaret Thatcher card. Please.
I was going to say Winston Churchill. I don't know why. I think that that'd be so funny.
He belongs in a set like this. That's why.
It's so silly.
This Even set if so the far games is, haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah. I think the set so far looks silly and fun, but also we only have such a small sample size. We have like 14 cards to look at right now, and there will be, what, 100? 100 total?
80 new ones and then 20 reprints, I believe, is what it is. Yeah.
Looking forward to that. By now, when you're listening to this, you've already pictured it. You already can see the spoiler up there, and it's ready to go. So if you're into it, get into it.
Speaking of getting into it, that switchboard light is on and in it. And that means you've got a caller.
Well, let's get into it. It's time to shoot down. Go on over to the friggin' phones, and your boy's got a phone call to make. All right, here we go. Oh, boy, a caller on the line. Who do we got this time? Who's calling in?
Hey, Mike, it's Beth, Queen of Cardboard. How are you?
Hey, Beth. Nice to hear from you. Doing okay. How you doing?
I'm doing really well. I'm doing really, really well.
Love to hear it. How's things? What's going on over in the old friggity United States of America down there?
Well, let's see. Right now, we are gearing up for some big charity streams this year.
Nice.
Coming up in a couple weeks, we're doing one for my birthday in support of Birds of Paradise, which is a female-led group for marginalized streamers. I also have one coming up for Autism Over 21. We're doing Magic Mental Health in support of NAMI this year. We have a Fisher House charity stream in July. And also in October, we are going to call it back with our annual stream in honor of Sheldon Mennery in support of cancer research.
Gorgeous. And all this can be found where? What do you got this on?
So you can find these streams on a variety of different channels, but all of the information about it and everything that you need to know, you can find on my socials, which is all listed at queenofcardboard.com.
Queenofcardboard.com, making it simple for us. That's a lot of streams. That's a lot of, first of all, not just streams, but charity streams. And I know that these streams get great guests. And you mentioned the Birds of Paradise. I think we should spend a little bit more time with the Birds of Paradise. Tell us more. Who's involved? And I know you guys did a panel at the Magic Con in Chicago about ways to be more inclusive and, you know, the pitfalls and trappings of, like, here's some common mistakes and how to avoid them on top of, like, yeah. So tell us more about the Birds of Paradise.
So Birds of Paradise is a group that was put together by my good friend, Bobby Christine, and a couple other women in the community. They are just a rotating cast of friends. So these women get together and they give each other tips. They give them help on how to create content and that kind of thing. And what I really love about Birds as a group is that it really shows women not only how they can succeed, but bring successful women to push each other forward and do more. Some notable members is Niall John Rivers, Katie Karlov is a member, and Jordan LeBlanc, who created their current Birds of Paradise logo, which if you were at MagicCon Chicago, you would have seen them with the VML right at the front of the show, which is the coolest thing. Offering a safe place to play for anyone who needed that. And that place was popping all weekend. And I will say personally, as a woman in the community, to walk into any place and just see right up front, just a bunch of women gaming and having a good time, like, that's beyond my wildest dreams. So I'm really excited to see that happen again, hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is something that, and not the, you know, Rachel Weeks and I have known each other for a very long time, and we played Magic at comedy festivals whenever we'd bump into each other. But like this Magic Con back in February, we're talking a while back now, we just like sat down and a bunch of people kept approaching Rachel, of course, you know, that's how it's going to go. And it's a lot of women and a lot of like also little girls who are like, hey, like you make it feel like this is our space too. And just like having somebody at that, you know, just out there and just having so much fun being a huge voice in the community, lifting others up and all that stuff. So it's like, we just got to talking after, like, I noticed like the third woman coming over being like, thank you for like, you know, making this space so women friendly. I was like, there are so many more women in magic than, you know, back when I started, when I was like, you know, 9 or whatever, obviously, that, you know, but it is just like, I don't know, just like, it feels dope. It's like, it's one of those things where like, magic went from being something that like I kind of got bullied for when I was a kid to like, you know, we'll see. Like Sam from Rhystic Studies posted a video about the art of the game and we're all like, this is a genius of our time. You know what I mean? Like it's a celebrated thing now. And I think more people get it and more people are finding like there's so much room for everybody.
Yeah, I will take it
except
a step.
Haters.
Hate has no home here.
Hell yeah.
I will take it a step back and just say women have always played magic. I started playing in middle school, but the problem therein lies is that it is a male dominated area and it can be super intimidating to enter a game store, enter a place where you don't know how people are going to treat you, or worse, you do know how you're going to get treated. And that's not a place that you want to be. And I think that what's happening in the movement in the magic community online right now is that a bunch of women are finally coming forward and saying, look, we're here. We want to play. We don't want to be treated this way. And we're going to talk about it. And I think one of the most inspirational things I saw recently was on TikTok from Queen Honey, who is one of the founders of SheEDH. And she had called out a company, not because they were doing anything like inherently wrong. They had done this ad and it was a girl buying game supplies for her boyfriend. And if I could tell you like how many times people are like, oh, did your boyfriend buy that deck? Oh, is that for your boyfriend?
Yeah.
And it's not anything that you're like, oh, wow, but we want to be marketed to. Sell to us too. Like women buy so much more in men and you're losing out by not marketing to us directly. An ad including a woman is a step, but take it one step further and she's buying that for herself. She's buying for her new deck. She's buying, you know, this cool deck box and these sleeves and this play mat for the thing that she wants to do. And I think it's a worthwhile venture. And taking that one step further, people are going to like my game store and we are hosting, you know, EDH just for women once a month, just so people can feel comfortable going in. I know that if I'd never gone into my game store, if the one person hadn't gone out of their way to make me feel comfortable, shout out to Andrew, I might not be Queen of Cardboard today because I might have just said, you know what? This isn't for me. I'm going to play at my kitchen table once in a while and, you know, not really push it a step further.
I love that. I think that the commercial could have gone further with being like, hey, are you buying this for your boyfriend? She's like, no, actually, it's for me. And then we could show the proper reaction of being like, yeah, my mistake. I don't know why I asked that. I'm an idiot, I guess. Whoopsie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and then like directly to camera. I guess I suck. But also, you know what I mean?
I mean, I think the thing is that we have these, you know, inherent feelings and these inherent thoughts.
Yeah.
And we can overcome them and we can, you know, play with a girl and treat her exactly the same as you would an opponent, no matter their gender. You can see a girl in your game store and let her just exist without, you know, sexualizing her, or, you know, that kind of thing. So it's
just another person
wanted to play this awesome game. So,
yeah.
And I was really excited because this month, I know we're probably not going to see this in the month, but this month I was able to do an article over on EDH Rec highlighting some of these awesome women, their favorite commanders. Tight. So, we got you know, 10 people. I actually had even more people that I couldn't include because I had a list of 10, but it was one of those things where it was like, you know, this commander is really cool and this is who plays her. Lua Stardust, Winota, Zbax.
Right.
And it was really cool to see it all put together. And then, you know, not only have this list of women that you should be following and like looking up to, but also steps that you can take in your game store to make sure that women feel comfortable in your play group and that kind of thing.
It's honestly as simple as just, you know, being at the table and just playing.
Yeah.
Like it's as simple as that. Mm-hmm. Do you know how much easier things feel when you just rock up, shuffle up, and then somebody doesn't make a comment about you being a woman at the table?
Yeah.
Do you know how, like, yeah, I mean, I don't think people realize just how easy that is. It could be so easy.
Or threat assessment. You're not attacking her because she's a girl, or you're not attacking her because she's a girl. Is her board the most threatening? Is this an emotional decision to attack her, or is it a logical one?
Right. You know, like, or like, you know, you don't want to talk your way through it, but you'd be like, look, I have something to deal with that board over there, but I do want to attack this one.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I guess I don't know how to say it, but like the what's the word? It's like, that's a microaggression, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's the word.
Yeah.
And so like, check yourself on your microaggressions, folks.
Yeah.
They add up, you know?
For sure. And I definitely, you know, it's like, I don't want to lose to a girl. That's like that thing that is in the back of our head. That's a prevailing
feeling? Yeah. Is that really?
It happens a lot.
It is crazy that in this day and age, the amount of women in power, the amount of great thinkers out there.
Yeah.
Amazing place. We have one of the best in Rachel, just like the most prominent figure. Rachel is constantly making some of the coolest friggin' plays in the game.
I mean, Rachel's amazing. People are watching this
and being like, yeah, I mean, there's a ton of them. There's like, you
know, we've got MTG, we talked about Nerd Lua. Girl.
Nerd Girl's really fantastic. Cool.
Tori. Olivia. We've got our non-binary pals, Chase and Z, main character.
Yeah.
We have
fantastic players.
Yeah, we have our trans women out there, Niall Jones Rivers. We have Bobby Christine, Jordan LeBlanc, L. There's
L.
I could go L, on and
always
on.
Always posting tech.
Yeah, Anna and Scylla. We've got a couple people over on the Play EDH team. Chloe, Queer Phyrexia, is really cool. So there are people out there making moves and growing. And really taking control of like their content, but also creating like this whole space across the internet where it's like little bubbles of communities that band together and make this like just awesome thing that's happening. And it's really, really cool to see.
Now, just as a person who doesn't fit in this category personally.
Mm.
Asking for myself and others like me or others not like me, what is the best way to support like you? What is the best way? Like if I had to say for myself and what I've done before.
Yeah.
If somebody says something f***ed up at it. Sorry, Ken, you're going to have to bleep that. If somebody says something f***ed up at a table, you know, and it's directed at a woman and it's pretty sexist or whatever. There's no, like, I've had times where I'm like, well, that's a scoop. This game's done.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, so you're going to find another table?
If you're at a game store, I would call a judge. Like, 100%, whether it's casual EDH, you're in a tournament, judge right then and there.
Mm.
Because the idea of calling a judge for a lot of people, especially people who face these microaggressions, is terrifying, but it's actually exactly what you want to do. If you're at a good game store that doesn't put up with this type of behavior, it's going to be handled in the bud right then and there. Otherwise, always speak up. Say, hey, man, that's horrible. And you need to leave the table. I wouldn't even scoop. I'd make them leave. And I would just wait with all of the players while they awkwardly look at how horrible they are of a person and get up and stand up and, you know, walk away. I actually keep special decks for people like this. So like Toxtrol, Negan,
I see.
You know,
the meanie decks.
But I'm not everybody. So like I just personally, I'm almost 38 years old at this point. I am a mom. I was in the army. I will handle
you. You've taken enough.
I will handle you myself. But I think standing up and saying something is always the right answer. And I think the other thing that like we let slide is, you know, NSFW art on sleeves and accessories. Ooh, like, don't,
this gets me riled up.
Don't allow that. And not even because it offends a woman. There's children that play this game. Like,
look, hey, not just that. Hey, it's me.
Yeah.
Also me.
Yeah.
I don't need to see your obsession with this underage anime girl on a playmat.
Yeah.
That does not look like she wants to be there. And it's a cartoon. So that emotion was painstakingly painted onto it.
Yeah.
With that intention. Mm-hmm. And you're over here being like, this is my stuff. It's like, hi, buddy. Get the f- out of here.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I have zero patience for that kind of thing. Yeah. It's like there was a time where like Chandra and Liliana making out in front of like a fireplace was like,
oh my gosh,
thing.
Yes.
And it's like, dude, what are you trying? What are you doing? Why is this something you need here?
Yeah. I don't understand, to be honest, like, this is one of the things that I will never understand what it feels like to need to have that on your sleeves and on your playmat or in your video games. I don't personally understand it, but that is something that we still deal with today. So, I think standing up against targeted harassment and bullying is always a good way. If you are in a pod, like, just say, hey, you want to play with us, and ask that person to come in. Like I said, when I first went to a game store,
I went to a game store
because I didn't have anybody in the area and it was the only thing that I knew how to do. And I was terrified and I hadn't played Magic in years. I came to draft and this one guy, Andrew, he teased me a little bit, let's be honest, but that's just our relationship. But he also made me feel like immediately comfortable, immediately okay. And, you know, I think making sure that your pod is safe, checking your guys, checking your friends and being like, hey, we're going to invite this girl. And then having a post game conversation. Everyone talks about Rule Zero and how you talk about how do we want this game to go? OK, yes, have that. But have a post game and say, hey, man, I didn't like when you did this. And sometimes it happens at the table and sometimes it happens after the table. But like, make a note of a behavior that wasn't okay and talk to your friends about it, because we can, you know, scream into the ether about things like free magic and people who are misogynist and people who believe differently than we do. And it's not going to change a thing because those people are going to continue to behave the way that they do. It's not until you talk to your friend who has like this behavior and pull them aside and be like, hey, I didn't appreciate that. And this is why. And here's what I wish you would have done instead. Give that person an opportunity to correct their behavior. Let them know that you saw it and give them like opportunities. If they don't know, because some people just, I don't understand because I know, but some people don't know what the right thing is. Give them some options of like, hey, I would have liked to seen this instead. Or hey, maybe in the future we can do this. Because when you're talking to your friend, you're much more likely to get that behavior to change than if you're screaming into the void.
Yeah, you're going to be able to get through to them a lot easier. You're a trusted source.
Exactly. So by working in small communities, those communities then push that behavior out and out. Like a ripple creates a wave. And that's how we can continue to show that women are comfortable, women can be safe here, and, you know, checking ourselves and our friends.
Hell yeah. A ripple creates a wave.
Absolutely.
Go. That's sick. That's sick. Like, I mean, this kind of like, we just started, huh? It's like we went into it and it did feel like, hey, welcome to the show. What's Birds of Paradise about? And we're up.
There's really tough topics, but they need to be talked about. So
for sure. I mean, it doesn't feel like there's going to be in this vein, like a am I the bolus question, but rather it's like we're talking, you know.
Are you the bolus?
Yeah, exactly. Are you the listener potentially the bolus? By, you know, like I think this is an awesome way to do the episode, actually. Yeah, okay. Way to unlock it. Is the audience the bolus? And not necessarily from like any example of right now, but continue to ask yourself, am I doing any of these things that would make someone in the environment uncomfortable?
Yeah.
And it's something to make sure that you like keep track of. Like, it's not.
Yeah.
Like, look, I say it's not hard. I say it's not hard to, like, you know, be inclusive and understand, and, like, you know, just treat people like people.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess there, for some people who like grew up a certain way or like have hardwired habits.
Yeah.
I think it's just important for them to like keep that at the back of their mind. It's like, oh, I just said that. That is.
Yeah.
You know what? Apologize first, recognize the behavior. And that's already a step. It's just like there is something to it where like it's less, depending on the scale of things, it's much less forgivable. Mm-hmm. But to kind of treat it like an accidental misgendering of somebody, like if you say like, well, I was just talking to her, it's like, actually it's them. And it's like, oh yeah, my bad. I was talking to them. You know what I mean? As simple as that could be, you're correcting
in the behavior. Moment.
Exactly. And not just in the moment, because it feels like you'll catch yourself again. If like, hopefully you remember, but it's exactly that kind of thing that can make a world of difference. Absolutely. To someone in a pod. Cause like, even if I was like, well, I don't want to attack the chick at the table, you know, you're like, and you get that
you shouldn't
look,
say
like,
chick.
First of all, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like I'm doing the example out, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to attack this, you know, I didn't want to go with the other word that came to mind. You know what I mean? Like anyway. What am I saying? I'm saying, like, I don't want to attack the woman at the table. Yeah. I don't want to attack the girl. Why would I attack the girl? She's just, you know, welcome to the table. I don't want to make you feel like you don't want to go anywhere. It's like, no, attack me.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, you're right. You've got you're cyclonic grifted.
Yeah.
You cyclonic grifted. My commander has haste. I'm not going to attack any of these other guys. I got to hit you.
I think a prime example that I actually have is like something that wasn't like that bad, but something that shouldn't have ever been said. Uh-huh. We had our SheEDH event at my game store and it was really cool. A bunch of these women, we even had a kid come out and play. We had 3-4 pods playing all at the same time. And some of the women brought their partners, and the partners like either were helping or just kind of chilling. And the pod that I was in was just talking about, oh, I really like this card. Oh, I like this. Oh, this is so cute. And the guy had walked up and gone to the front and wasn't talking to us, which, thank you. Don't do that, what you're about to do to us, because that's rude. And went and talked to one of the guys that was working and was like, oh my gosh, they're just talking about how everything is so cute. And it was like, bro. And thankfully, my game store, I worked there for 2 years. He's like, hey, come with me a little bit just to make sure that the conversation wasn't heard. It was like, you know, they're just trying to have a good time and they're just talking about what they enjoy with this game. So if you're feeling this way, then maybe you should just like step away from the table and leave them alone, which was props on my game store. Thank you so much for handling this. So I didn't have to, because I wouldn't have been as kind. But it was one of those things where it was like, we were enjoying art on Magic cards in the way that we enjoy it. And yes, sometimes, oh my gosh, it's so cute. That's okay. There's cute cards out there. And if you don't want to.
Have you seen the dog token from Karlov Manor?
Oh my gosh. Yes, I have. Elena Danner. Isn't it? Wow.
Right. Unbelievable. Not to mention Tiny is hilarious from the pre-con.
Yeah. There's cards out there that we just go, aw, and that's okay. That's not an inherently female thing.
I do it all the time.
Exactly. But to like kind of want to talk down at us because we were, you know, talking about things that we enjoyed in the game, that's exactly the behavior that needs to be curbed. Was it as bad as like hitting on us or making us uncomfortable by looking at us as objects or harassing us? No, but it's still, again, going back to those types of microaggressions. And the fact that he was trying to pull in another guy to like agree with him, that's the perfect time for you. Like, if you're that guy to say, hey, man, can they just enjoy the thing? And you just let them enjoy it?
Yeah. I mean, that's it's a common technique for me when somebody says something like that, is to like go outrageously in that direction, but like to a point where it just sounds stupid. Where it's like, listen to them. They're all They're talking about it like it's all cute. It's like, yeah, oh my God, can you believe it? People are gathered together to play this game where the art is actually like very well done, and sometimes it's like just gorgeous and so beautiful, and sometimes even cute, and they're expressing that amongst each other and enjoying their time with each other. It's like, what are they even thinking? How dare they? Am I right, dude? High five. We should high five over this. What do you think about a high five?
Oh my God. You know? If I saw that, I would die.
Right? Like, what kind of idiot? Why would you want to bring... It reminds me of a story that I don't know if I could tell on here from when I used to work at a store. I don't know if I'm allowed to mention the store. It's they sold phones and computers. Mm. And this one time, a racist dude had an appointment at the repair counter, and the guy that helped him was an Asian man. And he said that we can't repair this computer. It is liquid damage. And the customer then just was like, well, you should go back to your country, you know? And then he just started pointing at all the other Asian employees, including my colleague who was at the at a table with me. And he got in his face and was like, you go back too. And then he kind of turned around and like made eye contact with a bunch of white people going like, am I right? Huh? Come on. We got to tell them like it is. And then like every single person in that room was like, get the f*** out of here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the kind of tech, like the idea of like you're backing yourself into a corner and you're looking for allies. Hey, buddy, you're not going to find one here. You know what I mean? And if that person finds one person there, they won't learn. And so that's what's so important about the employee at your LGS saying, hey, let's correct this immediately, because you won't find a friend in me here, buddy. You won't find somebody who's going to take your side. You won't find an ally here with me here, buddy, on your team, but you might find a friend in the sense that I can teach you what isn't acceptable. And if you can grow from this and take it on board and move forward, then maybe we could be friends.
And that's why it's so important, if this person is open to listen, to come at it from a way where it's like, hey, you know, they're just trying to enjoy it. Like, I'm sure you enjoy certain magic art cards as well, so that they can bring it back to themselves and be like, oh, this isn't intimidating to me. This isn't encroaching on how I enjoy the game. This isn't a problem. I just have this preconceived notion and I need to work on it.
You know what? It's like somebody going, you know, oh, this is cute, and being like, can you believe this is cute? And then you're like, hey, what's your favorite basic land art? Yeah. And then they pick like just like a beautiful plains. Mm-hmm. And you're like, how would you describe, why do you like this art? And they're like, because it's beautiful. It's like, you just used a different word to describe something you enjoy. They chose cute. Could have been beautiful. What makes you so different?
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to keep a level head with people like this, because there is going to be a twinge of anger. But I definitely think that as someone who advocates for like what I'm referring to as like good confrontation has this negative connotation right now. And I disagree. I think that confrontation isn't necessarily negative, because in this case, if, you know, that we are, it is confrontation for the LGS employee to step in and say, hey, this is unacceptable. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you understand that, it's not like you're not welcome. If you understand this and you can do better, you can be part of this, you know?
Yeah.
That's a confrontation. That's a moment of confrontation. It can be handled with calm. It can be handled with a little bit of spice. But either way, that's good confrontation. That's what I'm always on about here, you know? I don't know. I think we covered like a lot in this chat.
Yeah.
Is there anything that we kind of maybe have not necessarily missed, but kind of just like, hey, what is there anything that you want to jump in about more?
Well, I definitely think that while women get this kind of objectification and sexualization, I want to point out that it shouldn't matter whether they are trans or unattractive, because you see a lot of women who are attractive, who play magic, who get couldn't possibly play magic. And once they realize that she does, then it's very sexualized. And how can I make her my girlfriend? But then you also have like the woman that you don't think is attractive, or the trans women. And this is where it like almost, there's almost the same behavior, because you'll see a lot of people kind of make fun of unattractive women and call them a man, or like treat them in a much similar ways that they're treating trans women. Listen, when you're playing a game, a child's game, like you shouldn't be concerned with what someone looks like or what's in their pants. Like that's just weird to me. So people are people, trans women are women. It doesn't matter if they're attractive or not. If you're attracted to them, just play the game.
A couple things to say about this. First off, while the game can be taught to children, I definitely don't consider magic to be a children's game. I do feel like that's a little reductive, considering most of the people that I play with are well into their 30s. You know what I mean? It's a game that we played young, but we've grown with. But it's definitely, it doesn't matter that it's a game for children or not. Who cares what's in each other's pants? What's that got to do with my Enchantress deck? You know what I mean? What's that got to do with anything? And I do think that it should be said that, like, yes, the attractive women, the way you phrased it, I just want to highlight, isn't exclusionary of the fact that there are very attractive trans women in general in the community. So it's not like you were separating like attractive women and saying that. I could see how that could be construed that way, but I wanted to say, like, it's just a point of another point of marginalization. Exactly. It's not that. I know your intention there, but I definitely know that not just, you know, of course,
there are some very beautiful trans women both within and without the community.
Absolutely. And we know that.
But I do think that there's this like idea that trans women aren't attractive, and that's just not true. And
I agree. Yes, absolutely.
And I think that's also, if you think someone's unattractive, whether they're trans or not, someone else thinks they're attractive, and you just need to be okay with that.
But also in the context of the game,
it doesn't matter.
Who cares?
Yes. Yes.
I don't give a hey, if I sit down in a pod and somebody's like, I'm not attracted to you at all, I'd be like, great.
Okay, that's awesome. That's an awesome rule zero. Thank you for your feedback. Continuing on.
Why do you feel the need to do this? You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly. Like, would you ever sit down with a bunch of dudes and be like, oh man, you are hot? Or like, you know what? You're kind of gross looking. Like, I'm just not going to deal with you. I'm going to attack you and get you out of here because I don't like the way you look. That's not something you would ever experience as a dude, like in a bunch of dude pods. Like, and it's really like, if this behavior wasn't okay for you in a pod of four guys, then it's not okay in a pod with a girl. It's not okay with a pod with a trans woman. It's not okay with a non-binary pal. Like, it doesn't matter what those four people are. If it wasn't okay this way, it's not okay any other way, period.
Right. Now, this is barring, of course, your play group of trusted people that you know. Like, if your buddy Lucas needs to shave his beard and you're playing your turn one raging goblin with haste and you want to target somebody and you go, hey, I'm hitting Lucas because of his beard. Ha ha he he. You know, he's not sensitive about it. You can make jokes. We're not saying it's not a place where you can make jokes with each other if you know those lines. But if you're out here talking about somebody's appearance and just being so derogatory.
Yeah.
What are you doing? And also, is it time for us to turn it on you? Is this secretly what you want? Why is that what you want? Maybe instead of buying another deck next month, invest that into therapy for 5 months.
Oh my gosh. The mental health crisis in America. Listen, we've been through a lot. I understand there's trauma there. You know,
oh, yeah.
There's so many things happening. Get yourself into therapy. It is worth the money. And it's like, just it. Like learn how to people again, because that is like 1,000%. When I see these types of behavior, I'm like, well, who hurt you? When was the last time you were in therapy? Like, not even like touch grass is like a mean thing, but like, maybe you should. Like, have you been outside today? That vitamin D is good.
You know what else is good? Leave your phone at home and go for a walk around the block if you can. Like, isn't that a nice little feeling? You know, take a walk and let the sounds of your surroundings hit you with a little bit of a, oh, it's not all the internet.
Yeah.
That's what that's what touch grass really means, is like you're in too deep on the internet.
Yes.
Please take a moment.
Yeah.
So I guess to kind of put a button on it before we dip out here is this isn't your standard Am I the Bull cast episode. Beth coming in with an Am I the Bullist story. It's definitely hitting us with a bunch of not necessarily pet peeves, because they apply to like a whole bunch of different kinds of people.
Yeah.
So it's like, could it be a pet peeve? Pet peeve is meant to be more specific, right? So in this case, I guess the question becomes, am I the bolus in the future?
Yeah.
So am I doing any of these behaviors? Am I engaging in any sort of behavior or conversation where I am a reason that somebody would not feel welcome or safe? And that's an important thing to consider. And I think that's what we're going to discuss with Solani and Morgan after we hang up with Beth. And definitely, I think this episode is going to be one that we point to a lot. I think I'm glad, a little peek behind the curtain. Beth recorded an episode a while back and we were like, this is way too far back. Do you want to record another one? And I think this one, I'm glad we did it. I think the last one we had a story about something or other, and I was just like, okay, but I think this is more pressing and important than any story about like, hey, I did threat assessment wrong. Am I the bad guy? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So definitely happy we had you back on to get your episode out this time.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So queenofcardboard.com.
Yep.
In the interest of paying it forward and shouting people out, I know you got the Birds of Paradise, but go ahead. Tell us more about people you like, anything that you want to plug and promote. Go off, Queen of Cardboard.
Cool. So definitely She EDH is a group from the women over on TikTok that they're starting to play women-led pods and just get women together, do the same kind of concept. Doing great work over there. Another one that might be a little outside of the Magic community is The Game Hers. If you haven't heard of them, they're a huge women's group in gaming. They actually have their own awards. And they're doing really great work across the board for gaming, whether you're playing Magic, tabletop, or video games. Something definitely to check out. Bobby Christine is out there doing some work. Magic Misha Migo and the VML, some really great ladies hosting competitive gaming for women. We talked about MTG Nerd Girl. Yep. Ruhaha is one of my non-binary pals. We've got Jen from the Filthy Magic Casuals. Infinite Tokens is a female-led company. Yes, gotta love her. And just anyone out there, Z-Bex, I could name women just going on and on and on. There's so many women out there doing content, winning tournaments, playing games. We've got Dana. She's 13 now, I think, out there trying for the Pro Tour. Dana Fisher. Just awesome women doing amazing in the community and in Magic.
Hell yeah. And you brought up Infinite Tokens. I just want to say, we're not sponsored by Infinite Tokens, but I use Infinite Tokens all the time. I don't join a table unless I've got them by me. Infinite Tokens are the truth. They changed how we do things over Spell Table. and in person, and any company that wants to do something that's similar to Infinite Tokens, my question is, why, when you can just take the original, buy the original? Shout out to Megan.
Absolutely.
Infinite Tokens.
Support.
Not sponsored.
Support women-owned businesses. Support Infinite Tokens. We stand at Infinite Tokens in this house.
Big time. All right. Well, I guess that we're going to call it queenofcardboard.com, everybody. Let's get back to Solani and Morgan and talk about this very important topic. Well, thank you for calling in, Beth, Queen of Cardboard, Birds of Paradise's own, calling in the chat about, well, geez, being a woman in magic, being a woman around magic and in magic and being treated differently for it. What a conversation. One that I think folks are going to be revisiting as an important episode here at the Bowlcast. So thank you for calling in, Beth. I really appreciate you taking the time and for chatting with us today. Morgan, before we get into talking about, I don't even know how we're going to phrase this question, because how? Let's talk about how the votes break down, because we still need to vote on whether or not Beth is the bolus, apparently.
Yep. Voting remains the same. So that means that my vote counts for one and Solani's counts for one, but Carroza, your vote counts for three.
And I love it.
And it's just the way science works.
Science is at work here. We know
yes.
that.
See, this is why I believe the Earth is flat.
Solani, believe? You should know the Earth is flat.
It's just a concentric ring of ice surrounding the visible world.
We've been over it. We know this is fact.
Yes.
Now, Morgan, I don't envy you with this task because I don't know how to ask this question or how to frame this question. But why don't you hit us with the bolus question for Beth, Queen of Cardboard?
Well, to be perfectly honest with you guys, Beth and I are both wondering, are you the bolus?
Like us?
Are you the bolus?
Like
are
me?
The audience and anyone, are you the bolus?
Well, I don't want
to brag.
Go ahead.
When it comes to playing EDH, and especially playing EDH with women, are you the bolus? That's what we're asking.
Okay. I mean, I like this because I think I already talked about it. But Michael, do you want to start off on this one?
I can't possibly be the bolus, Morgan. I was Time's Person of the Year in 2006. This is kind of what we're doing to our audience right now, right? We're asking them if they're the bolus.
We're asking them to reflect. You know, was the cover of that a mirror? The cover of Time 2006?
Yeah, actually. It was like a screen, and there was like a reflective coating across it so that you could see yourself in the magazine, because like the whole point was that like YouTubers and podcasters were kind of taking off.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you're going to be playing, like when you play a game like Magic in a social setting, it's pretty friggin' obvious that you shouldn't call attention to like, oh, you're a woman in Magic. Isn't that novel and strange and weird? No, that's not correct. Come on, guys. This is easy. Like, just shut up and play the game. Like, play the game. It's just a normal game. There's nothing special about it. Like, one of the things that I keep seeing in games is, like, if there's a woman in the pod, there's always someone that's going to, like, I know how these players play, right? They talk, how they act. But if there's a woman in the pod, they'll suddenly start explaining way more things. And I take notice of that immediately. It's like, oh, my God, dude. Like, I know why you're doing this. It's just so ridiculous. Just stop. Just play the game like nothing else is different. You don't have to call any attention to it. And you are calling attention to it, even if you're doing things subconsciously. So, like, if you see that sort of happening in your pod, like, Dark call it out. Just call it out and make sure that people realize that they're doing it, because otherwise it's just not going to get better, and we want it to get better, you know.
Yeah, we were talking about microaggressions in the conversation. Like, that's one of them. You know what I mean?
Mansplaining.
Command-splaining. Wow.
I didn't even come up with that joke. I just heard it wrong.
I think that's pretty fun. I think that it's like, I don't think it should stop at magic, obviously.
Yeah.
Like, what's fun is, like, growing up playing magic, it totally wasn't something I played with, like, girls my age. It was something that, like, the girls my age would make fun of me and my friends for playing. And, you know, you come to think of it as like, oh, okay, well, I guess it's just like a boys thing or something. And then you grow up and you're still playing this game, and then a woman's joining your table, and you're like, well, sick. Another person's joining the table. I guess this one doesn't have a leg to stand on if she wants to make fun of me for playing the game she's also playing. So this is kind of safe for me too. You know what I mean? I don't know what to say. Magic at the moment is like, I don't think I've ever seen this many women play Magic in the entire time I played Magic, and it rules.
And depending too, and something that I would very much like to bring up to anyone listening to this is that women have always been in Magic. The way that I grew up was different, Carrozza, than you. I know we were in it in around the same time, but I mean, different countries and that kind of thing. I grew up playing Magic with a lot of other girls my age. I started playing Magic when I was 8 years old, and a lot of girls that I knew that I was friends with played it too, but we got made fun of for playing the boys game. And it wasn't
wild.
It's the same. It's like, you know, the same thing, but slightly different, just vice versa kind of thing. You know, so it's like, oh, you know, you can't play that. You're a girl, and you know, the guys are better than you and that kind of thing. And I was like, I just like the art. I like some of these creatures or whatever. Right. Like, you know,
you don't got to defend it. You like the game.
Yeah, I do. And also, again, to reiterate, like, I am the person, and there are other women with me. Emma Partlow is a great example of this as well. She's content manager for TCG Player, which everybody listening to this knows about.
Mm-hmm.
Eliza Hunton, she is the lead editor of EDH Rec. I am content operations manager for Space Cow Media. I will hire you to write for EDH Rec and or Commander's Herald. There are women who are making decisions in this game at a very high level, outside of just playing it. We have love and passion for the game. And if you're somebody who doesn't feel represented, know that we're out there and talk to us. Like, you know, say something, say what your experience is like. You know, maybe this doesn't feel as good, maybe this is better, that kind of thing. It's so important that we all kind of speak up, and we're in this demographic. I've been playing Magic for a really long time. And for me, the best thing that people can do is just talk about their experiences with other people, because traditionally, it's been a very male-centric game, but I am so proud of the men that I've played games with and worked with who have exalted these women and put them in a place to say, yeah, you're just here to play with us. We're all the same, right?
Yeah.
And maybe some people need a little bit of extra help to feel comfortable, and that's totally okay too, because that's something that we should all just be doing, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why we're asking, are you the bolus? And Carrozza, you said this perfectly. Am I the reason someone doesn't feel comfortable or safe in a Magic game? Ask that question of yourself very seriously. We have a lot of fun and silliness and
we get silly
and garbage talking on the show with one another. But really, in the end, ask yourself that question, whether you're playing with a woman or not. Am I the reason somebody doesn't feel comfortable?
Totally.
And that's what it all comes back to. Like, am I just not, you know, you're not taking like a 40-minute turn or you're playing the best cards, but like, are you saying things that could be misconstrued as I'm digging at you, and maybe I don't know you, we're not friends, or I have this presumption about you? Don't do that. Ideally.
I think what Beth brought up is like, her friend brought her into Magic, and he was just like, yeah, come play. And he made it safe for her to feel like, hey, she belonged, which she does. And look at the impact that Beth and the Birds of Paradise have had on the community. Not to mention, like, the longer you play Magic and the more people you play with, the closer you get to these people who have different experiences than you. And the closer you are to them, the more likely it is that they will share their experience with you in a more pointed way. Maybe it'll be a criticism of something you've done, and they'll feel comfortable enough to bring it up to you. Or they'll point out something that you may not have noticed in a game that you're playing. You're in the same pod and somebody does something that you're like, you don't think twice about, but after the game, you have a chat with your friend and they're like, yeah, I really didn't like when he did that because that made me feel this, or like, oh, I didn't realize, did you notice this? And I'm like, no, I didn't. Like, I didn't realize that was something. And then you're learning to be a better person out of it. And ultimately, again, thank you for pointing it out, but like, yeah, am I the reason somebody doesn't feel safe or comfortable? Be better at that. Be better at making and fostering an environment where people could feel safe to approach you, to play with you.
It's not too late to make major strides in that area either. Don't feel like just because you've acted a certain way in the past that somehow precludes you from improving upon yourself. Mm. Like, that's not how that works.
Yeah, totally. So never too late to not be the bolus.
Unless you play stacks, then you're always the bolus.
Well, I disagree with that.
And your vote counts for three, so I guess you are correct.
That's just the stacks player, like, defined, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of haystack, I need to add that to my Xur phasing deck.
Yeah, you do. I don't think that we need to get into anything else tonight. I think it's just like a good episode to like sit with it. Are you the bolus being the question, and not really having a verdict? Like, I don't know that we could really vote on that. Like, it's,
but if we did, yours would count for three.
Yeah, baby. Yes.
Well, hopefully you are not the bolus and we've given you something to think about. And, you know, just know that you're playing this game with other people. It doesn't matter what their gender identity is or who they like and what they like, whether they think a card is cute or whether they think it's cool. Let people enjoy things, enjoy the game, and just be nice to people. It sounds so simple, but it's really difficult sometimes. I think that magic can become an outlet for your ego, and you need to recognize when that's happening. And Commander is, in my opinion, shouldn't be the ego format. You should be playing with the type of people that you want to play with, the demo, like whether you want to play CEDH or whether you want to just play your spider deck against a goblin deck, really, or you want to play the cute dog and cat deck, whatever. But please, if we can implore anything on you amidst the silliness and dorkiness that we do on this podcast, please ensure that you are self-reflecting upon yourself. And you know, this doesn't need to be a big thing, but just be kind to people and understand that, you know, we're all different and we all have different reasons for playing the game, and that's okay.
The question isn't, I think the most important part isn't answering the question of whether or not you're the bolus. It's about whether or not you're trying to be better than you have been, you know, and if you're doing well, keep it up. There's no perfect person, but we all do our best, and that's what matters. So there's examples of way to behave when when somebody comes at you about some of your behavior, you can own up to it and apologize and make sure that you work on not being that person anymore. And I think that's more important than whether you get defensive about it or you're like, but I like being a bit of an asshole. Like, just make sure you're being better. That's all. And I appreciate that Beth called in. And this was the topic that we chatted about. It is a social game after all, and social interaction means that you're going to impact not just the person you're talking to or playing with, but the people around. Again, it's a vibe thing. A vibe is in the air, and you just want to be contributing positively to a vibe. So do your best. Be a good person. If you don't love yourself, how in the hell are you going to love anybody else? Can I get an amen up in here? Been watching too much Drag Race.
Let me tell you, I live in Boys Town, and there's a pizza place called Big Gay Sal's Pizza. That's literally the name of the place. I went in there, Drag Race is going on. It's open till like 5 a.m.
Yes.
So if you ever wanted a slice of Zod 4 and to watch that would 100% be your vibe, Mike.
I'm coming back to Chicago to eat at Big Gay Sal's.
Not making this up. This is real.
I'm going to go, and I'm ready for it. I'm excited, especially if it's open that late, because I was disappointed with some of the places that did not stay open when I was out there. Anyway, this got away from us. I think it's time to say goodbye. Have a good day. Thank you again to Cardsphere for sponsoring this episode. Make sure to check out the description for a link, and make sure that you let them know that we sent you. That's the most important part for us. Is that them knowing that we sent you is a big deal. So please, please do that for us. And check us out in 2 weeks. We'll have another guest calling in. You can find us at Am I the Bowlcast on Twitter. Find me at Mike Carrozza, MikeCarrozza on Twitter and Instagram. Morgan, where can people find you?
I'm also on Twitter at Indigo Gentleman.
And Solani, what about you, buddy?
You can find all of my stuff at gamesfreaksa.info. That's the letters, not the word.
Gorgeous. And that'll do it for us tonight. So thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back in 2 weeks.